Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back. Keep the chats going. 51551, that's the text. Oliver at RTE.ie for the longer stuff on the email. Now, as we know, the housing disaster, as President Higgins has called it, it was created in policies around 2013, 2014, I suppose, and it's affected just about everyone at this stage. Massive rents, benefits a couple of multinational landlord firms, really, but it's increased homelessness. It blocks working people's chances of owning their own home and everything in between. And it's students who are really squeezed up for housing, even at the best of times. So how are they doing now? Well, I can tell you 66 Voices is a really brilliant project that our two guests who are in studio with us this morning have worked on. And we'll hear shortly the crazy stories of college students and their housing struggles and how it impacts their ability to pay for stuff, including food. Never mind, go out and live the party lifestyle that many of us imagine students do in Ireland. Tig Nolan and Nicola Byrne, you're both very welcome to studio. And you're students at the IADT.
Yeah, yeah. Institute of Art, Design and Technology in Dunleary.
Thank you for breaking that out. Not easy on a Monday, but for any of us, I can tell you. But tell us, Nicola, first of all, how you met, how the two of you know each other.
So we both went to a portfolio course in Gorey School of Art in 2020 after our Leaving Cert, because we needed a portfolio to get into graphic design in IADT. So we met and became friends on that course, and then we ended up becoming friends, and we need to find somewhere to live for college, so we ended up living together for the past 3 years.
Great. And how long is a portfolio course? A little time.
It's a year long. Yeah. So it kind of is up to you if you want to do it like throughout secondary school.
And that's to get entry to the esteemed halls of the IIT.
Yeah.
Where are you both from?
I'm from just outside New Ross in Wexford.
Very good. So it was kind of home, Gorey.
Yeah, it wasn't too far. It's 30-minute drive, yeah.
The polar end. And
I'm from Arklow, so literally next door to Gorey as well.
Good. Okay. Yeah. So coming up then to Dunleary, is that a shock to the system? Because you're thinking about housing, I presume.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of mad at the start. You're kind of looking around. But it's funny as well, because like 3 years ago, it was kind of scary to look for somewhere. And like we were trying to find somewhere again to live with each other this year, but it's like 20 times worse, you know, like there's literally nothing going up on Daft, nothing, everything that's going up is coming down pretty straight after, you know. So that was kind of a scare for us as well, and kind of definitely what helped impact this project for us as well.
So when you say the 3 years together, it's hopping around, is it?
Well, no, we've been in the same apartment for the last 3 years, very luckily.
Lucky, yeah.
Well, yeah, lucky in some senses.
Well,
not
it's
lucky
rare.
In some sense.
It should be normal, yeah. Shouldn't it?
Yeah.
But it's rare, isn't it?
Yeah, no, because even throughout the project, most people we spoke to weren't in that situation, and that's what a lot of people want, is to live with their friends, but it's just not really a chance to do that in Ireland, unfortunately. Mm.
What kind of rent can you pay over there? Because I know your interest in talking about this. It might sound like a rude question. Tell us about your living arrangements. It's relevant, isn't it?
Our story is very different, I think, actually, because we were basically living in a basement apartment that we... Mm. It was a two-bedroom apartment that we made for. So there's four of us living there.
Okay, so two beds.
Pretty much two beds, and we kind of made it work with the other two bedrooms. Damp, mouldy basement, you know, wasn't the best scenario for us. But it was affordable and the location was great. It's like a 10-minute drive to college. Like you could walk to college as well. So we were very lucky in that sense, but definitely wasn't the best environment like living in.
How much was this damp and mouldy two-bed / four-bed?
$625 a month, or it went
each,
up then to about $650.
Oh, so what you're paying each. $650 each is what you paid to share a room.
Well, so it was actually, basically it was like, legally it was two bedroom, illegally it was three because there was a bedroom with no window, and then there was this kind of spare room that we made into a fourth bedroom basically. So it was kind of, we all did have our own room, but two of the rooms weren't really great.
So it's legally a legal requirement that I can't believe I'm saying this, it's a legal requirement to have a window in a bedroom.
Yeah. And ventilation as well, which we definitely, there was no ventilation.
The rules aren't really like there's nothing you can do, is there? You're in insecure accommodation, you're hardly going to start saying, this is all.
Yeah, no, like we were like, we're delighted. Yeah, we have so much to live. So, yeah.
Go away, wow. What have you noticed then? Because it's the rents just keep going up.
Keeps going up.
That's your experience.
Yeah, so our plan was, like, it worked for us to find two bedrooms, made it four. And we were like, okay, well, this year we'll find a four-bedroom apartment and try live together again, because that was the logical reason, you know, we got on so well with each other. And there's literally two-bedroom apartments gone for like $3,000.
We were looking at places, and for a two-bedroom it was about like 2,600, and that was already more than what we were paying for the four of us. Like, this is ridiculous.
And you have two different experiences, Tadhg. How do you pay for your rent and your bills and all of that?
Yeah, so Arklow's an interesting one because I could definitely commute to college. You know, like my brother, he went to IDT as well, and he commuted for the 4 years. And I kind of learned through his experience that it definitely wasn't ideal. You know,
you don't get the student experience.
You really don't, no. And like, you're waiting for the train, you're waiting for the buses, and like, all in all, it's about 3 hours there, 3 hours back, you know.
Oh, wow.
So I was kind of like, I'll try find a solution, you know. I wanted to be independent. So my parents have been really, really supportive of it all, you know, like they definitely gave me the help when they could, but it was completely my decision to move out. Mm. So I definitely spent a lot of time working throughout college to kind of support myself as well. But yeah, again, like my parents were super, super helpful when they could be.
But you mostly supported yourself?
Yeah, mostly supported myself. Yeah. So I was working about 2-3 nights a week and then weekends as well. So trying to balance that with college work and then trying to, you know, have the social life as well, and then, you know, working as much as I can. So,
did you manage it so far?
Yeah, you could say that. Like,
yeah. Rent swallows up a lot, does it?
It swallows up a lot, and then, you know, the bills and groceries, everything. Yeah. And then, you know, it is that way. Like, I was definitely burnt out. Our course is super, super intense. You know, it's a 9-to-5 in the studio every single day. It's not like a normal college course where you can kind of go to lectures. You know, you're expected to do quite a lot in the course. So it was balancing that as well. It was definitely difficult. Burnt out point quite a lot throughout the years. But we're nearly there, you know, final stretch.
It doesn't sound like you're saving up a whole lot.
No
saving. And Nicola, you're a shout out to your parents as well.
Yes. I'm very lucky to be supported by my parents. I'm not like the most like high income family. So it's not like a case of, you know, we're mad wealthy or whatever. It's just, you know, sacrifices are made. There's like, you know, no holidays, that kind of thing. But yeah, just that.
Your parents going without holidays, that sort of thing.
They're grand. But, you know, that kind of thing, that it's like, it's not a case that we're very well off. It's just that we're like comfortable enough that they're able to support me, basically.
And this is quite typical, isn't it?
Yeah, like that. There are a lot of students that are supported by their parents, but I'm sure everyone, like, there's still like, I'd still have like, you know, worries about money, and like, there's always that guilt as well of being supported by your parents. Like, I would nearly feel bad about it and stuff, that I feel like I should be doing it myself, but like, it is very difficult.
But you have worked part time as well. You've done.
Yeah, I was working in a pharmacy for the last few years, kind of on the weekends and during summer and stuff like that.
Explain that guilty feeling.
It's just like, I don't know, say like, especially when I see, say like Tadhg, he's doing it himself. I feel bad that I should be doing more, kind of thing. But I suppose how my parents see it is they're like, they want me to have the best chance to get through college that I can. And obviously college is tough enough as it is. So they're like kind of happy to support me so that I can have it that bit easier, I suppose. But yeah, I just kind of feel a bit guilty about it, I suppose.
Yeah, I wonder, is that a kind of a typical feeling?
It kind of is. A lot of people we spoke to have the same thing. Even like, they live at home in Dublin. They like still like, they might be commuting to college, but they still like are struggling even just to work enough to be able to, you know, like pay for their own accommodation or their own like transport costs and stuff like that. That a lot of people still do get support from their parents, but they're like, I'm not going to ask for, oh, can I have 20 euros so I can go have a pint in the pub tonight, kind of thing.
That day is gone. And it's also the hard-earned money of your parents and indeed your own part-time work money that's going into this dysfunctional housing system, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And I should say, for balance, by the way, that opposition parties, people seem to have lost their faith in going by election results in their ability to solve it, because everything just seems to be getting worse and worse. And Nicola, you have a brother who's going to start college soon as well.
Yes, so he's hoping to start now next year. So that'll be another to pay for the two of us, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be tougher, I suppose. So yeah.
And the grants, are they not helping?
The grants they're okay. They have quite like tight thresholds, and like, I remember last year I missed out on my like getting full tuition fees paid because we were over it by like €100 or something like that. So it's the kind of, they're not very flexible. They're not and in general, so like, I can apply for them because I have say like, my parents support me, so obviously that's one thing. But people that don't get support from their parents, they can't apply for them because you have to be like over the age of 23 and living outside of home to be able to apply for Susie independently. Right. So basically, like, say people like Ty can't apply because he's not over the age of 23. That it's like, you know, like some 18-year-olds are putting themselves through college and they don't get that opportunity to apply for Susie, and they're the people that really need it.
Yeah.
So just things like that, like, it's quite like a flawed system in that sense.
Mm.
They're
the gaps.
Yeah, no, I definitely that's something I always face as well, is that, like, they don't see you as an independent until you're a certain age. And one of the girls I was speaking to about, like, this project, you know, she completely disconnected from her parents altogether, has no relationship with them, but she has to support herself completely. Susie doesn't see that as something that
Susie, they don't recognize the grant system, that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
The grant system, sorry. Yeah.
Student universal.
Like, the state goes, there's no way you could be an independent
adult. Yeah. So she's trying to get into contact with her mother to be like, can you sign off this or whatever? And she has no relationship with her mother. So it's literally like, what am I going to do in the situation? I can't afford all of this, you know. Like, my parents do definitely support me in that as well. They pay towards my grant because we can't, we don't hit the band that gets the full. But it's still the same thing, you know, it's like they don't see independence, you know.
We should say to anyone who's maybe done their planning student life, you're enjoying it and having
a
nice
story. Yeah. Yeah, that was one thing we were afraid of with this project. We're not trying to scare prospective students. We do love college and we love our course, we really do. It's just like to shed light on it, because I think there's a lot of... like, the project initially started to educate lecturers about student life, but I think it applies in, like, a wider sense.
Why do you think you needed to tell lecturers what was going on?
It was kind of, we were tasked with it, to be honest. So it was one of our projects at the start of this year, was to educate lecturers on one of the N-Tutor core teams. So N-Tutor is the National Technological University Transformation for Resilience and Recovery, which is...
the fact you laughed halfway through.
Short and snappy.
It's very, very short and snappy. So it's like a collaboration across the technological higher institutes and universities to kind of improve learning in colleges. So basically, we were tasked with educating the lecturers on one of their core teams, and that's how this project started.
A good idea.
Yeah.
It's not that it was a crisis that lecturers didn't seem to be able to read the papers and understand the students. So that's where this project kind of come out of.
Yeah.
Just before we come into the kind of the bad side of things, I mean, is there much time for fun in college courses? I mean, that's sort of rite of passage that we all look to for college life,
don't we? That's the thing. It's definitely about trying to find that balance, you know. That's another, I'm going to be negative again here, but a lot of people in our course, especially, they all commute. So that's a difficulty we've kind of had is like making time for each other, you know, like we try to organize drinks or we try to organize functions of some sort, but it's like a 2-hour commute or 3-hour commute. And they're like, oh, well, if I meet up with you guys, I'm going to have to leave at 6 because if I miss my next train, then I won't be able to get home and blah, blah, blah. So that's another thing we've kind of dealt with in our course, especially, is everyone's commuting. So
that's more like people in their 30s who can't meet up because, well, I have a job and I'm just, I'm having a baby and getting married and saving up.
Yeah.
So whereas, you know, the college people used to be always ready to go out.
Yeah.
Certainly certain nights you
I
could
think
pick.
In a way, maybe IDT is a bit of an outlier in that sense, in that, like, I know with UCD and stuff, it is a lot more people that maybe live close or, like, are living on campus, whereas with IDT, it is a lot more people that are from Dublin, so they commute quite far from different areas of Dublin, because obviously they couldn't afford to pay rent when they're like, I live in Dublin. It's only a 2-hour commute, but I...
And they have stuck with the guilt of maybe, can they go out?
Exactly.
Yeah, obviously it's very tough on them as well,
seem to be spending money that should be going on rent. Their parents would say. Okay, so you put this experience out and into words, basically. 66 Voices, that's an obvious title because you spoke, was it 66?
66.
Yeah, 66. So graphically, it's kind of the idea of like 6 is like the quotation mark. So it's like 6 and then the 9.
Oh, I get it. Yes.
So it's like directly quoting students' experiences and their voice, you know.
Brilliant. I didn't spot that.
It's a little Easter egg.
It's a graphic design perspective there.
Very good. So you literally go around interviewing and recording them.
Yeah. So, it kind of all started. I kind of had the idea. So I went to this exhibition in IMA. There's an art gallery in Dublin.
Yep,
so
basically.
So there's this exhibition on with Haridina Pindell. And she basically talked about her lived experience as a black woman. Kind of, you know, it really struck me because you hear statistics and you understand that, like, racism exists in the world. And, you know, like, obviously it's a very... passionate thing, but it's when you hear those stories from people and her lived experience, it really, like, left something with me, and I was like, we need to kind of take something away from this, you know, and how can we make this our own? So I think it's when we started, we kind of had a a perspective, but we didn't know how to go about it. So we started interviewing a few people and we kind of were trying to make them comfortable. It was a very like long experience of like sitting down with them for 40 minutes, trying to chat some things and trying to get them feeling comfortable enough to kind of talk to us because we were strangers to them, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people were surprised with what they came out with as well. You know, they were kind of telling us things they probably didn't expect to tell a stranger, you know.
It all poured out.
Yeah. So we were recording that and we ended up editing down some of the key points from it. And like the key questions then as well that we took away from the experience. And then that kind of continued on and we were like, where do we hit a point where we can kind of stop with this? Because it was quite a long process, you know, to make those people feel comfortable.
People suddenly wanted to confess all. Not confess, but to relate everything.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm going to play a little bit of it in a moment, but give us the installation itself. You go into a room and this, you're going to, people
yeah,
hear
so
this background. So
the idea is that there'd be... there was three frames that kind of created a cube or a square that you would enter into this kind of square and it, you'd be surrounded by these three frames that would have projections on
them. These are big kind of 6-7 foot.
Yes, they're 3 meters wide and 2.5 meters tall. And they are, there's rear projections. So there's three projectors from behind and they display text basically. So we, like from all of the different interviews, we had like so much audio footage and we edited it down to kind of the really main like snippets, like the key points that really drove the point and like sequenced the text to it. So the idea is you'd walk into the space and you'd see the text appear and the questions would come up first. So there's different questions about like, you know, renting, like are you under pressure to support yourself financially? What are your like college experiences? Does your financial situation impact how you eat? Are you missing out on the typical college experience due to cost? That kind of stuff. So these are just some of the really main ones we felt would be great for everyone to hear.
And so you see the quoted answers being projected and so on moving across these boards.
Yeah.
And you'll also hear this.
It's a grand a month for digs, like a box bedroom.
I was living in like a construction site the first 3 or 4 months of college. So now I live in the attic together with my friend. It's €1,200 to share a bed.
I would eat pizza mainly because it was €1.75 and that was a whole meal.
Sometimes I steal bread, like a little medieval child.
Today I couldn't spare any money to buy lunch, so...
I'm not probably getting all like the nutrients I need. I'm like, just eating like either pasta or like noodles just to like fill me up.
Having to sacrifice some things in my life, like, oh, will I get lunch today or will I go out later and connect with people?
Still use like kids' leave card up to recently.
I'm working during the week. I don't have like as much time as I need really to like write my thesis or like do group work or anything like that.
It's present in every single moment and decision of mine. It's like a little demon in the corner of my room or something.
It's a stressful situation because I really want to be independent and not rely on like my parents, but it's a necessity at this point if I want to continue college. Like,
I think that's extraordinary. It is amazing, like you say, when you hear the personal stories.
Yeah.
I steal bread.
Yeah, we had a few of them as well.
A lot of people telling those stories, yeah.
This must have been eye-opening even for you.
It really was, because obviously we have our own experience, but like speaking to other people, and it was amazing how quickly people would tell us very personal stories and like we nearly became a little bit desensitized to it because we were hearing like constantly hearing awful things for like the few weeks we were recording them. And we were like, people would be like, oh, this is like, I was made homeless. So we're like, okay.
I wish we could help. But we
like heard so much that we became like slightly desensitized to it. But no, they were, some of them were really shocking, like, and really, really like hard to hear.
And that was like something that we definitely felt as well, like once people saw the installation, they were in that space and they came away from it, they were like, wow, I don't feel as alone as well. That was a huge takeaway
for us.
Like a lot of students, is a lived story for everyone, you know.
So, and that was necessarily telling each other
exactly so that was a point we were making, was that like everyone has their own experience. It could be really small to you or it could be really big to another person, but I think we wanted to get a really wide range of like people living at home, people commuting, people paying ridiculous rent, this and that, even to the smallest things, you know. And every single person who came away from it was like, I'm glad I heard this as well, because you can kind of get in your head a little bit and be like, wow, this is all on me, like how am I going to get through this? But I think it's when you hear those other experiences as well, you kind of feel a little bit less alone. You can kind of feel like, well, we're all in this together, you know.
Yeah. As bad as it is.
As bad as it is, yeah.
And like clearly, like it's a systematic issue. It's not a like personal issue. That's what a lot of people felt.
When people say they're paying this much to share a bed, do they mean share a bedroom?
No, that was one of the girls we spoke to. Unfortunately, she'd been in digs, and then they were trying to like make her leave, and then she was like, "Please let me stay." So she ended up moving into the attic, and there was another girl in the same situation. She had been in digs in a different room in that house, and they ended up like, the landlady was like, "The only way you can stay is if you move into the attic." And she only had one bed for them, so they both shared the bed. I think they eventually got a second bed, but still, it was ridiculous rent even to be having your own bed.
That's insane.
They were sharing a bed and paying the same rent, like €1,200. To share a bed in an attic.
There are no words for that.
I know, though. Yeah.
We're getting some messages in here. My daughter has just completed 6 years at third level. This has cost more than €150,000 between the fees, accommodations, food, travel, and so on. It's astonishing. My parents partly supported me in college. Whenever they asked me if I was okay, I often lied and said I was fine, even though you're both nodding to that, even though I was sometimes living on bread and water to avoid asking them for more money. That was back in the 90s when the student grant saved us from utter starvation. That's from Frank in Galway. But you're nodding along in 2024, something from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Does your generation of students, do you feel robbed that, it was easier before?
We don't want to like discredit obviously people that came before us. Obviously, like it still obviously was bad in the 90s if that's what people were living with. But I think a lot of the point of this is maybe to raise awareness that like it's really after getting a lot worse. Obviously, the cost of living, everyone can feel that at the moment. Like we've had like people in their 30s who are working full time see the exhibition and relate to parts of it. So like it's obviously everyone, it affects everyone. But I think we're not trying to be like, we have it worse than you, but it's more just to show that like it is really bad. Because I know there is, like, I'm sure some people would be like, oh, those young people, they just want to give out.
Yeah. There are tons of people who haven't gone to college at all because of housing.
Yeah, of course.
The choices in their courses are picked because of housing.
Yeah.
Which we've never had before.
Yes, yeah.
You expect it to be poor as a student. You don't expect to be sharing a bed in an attic and your parents having to pay enormous amounts of money. Can people go to see the installation? Is that on the plan or is that?
So originally, we've had it in a few different locations. So it started in IDT and we were funded by NTutor to kind of get the ball rolling with it. So we were very lucky in that sense as well. And then it kind of picked off pretty well. So we went to Dublin Learning City Festival with it as well. So we had a launch there with the mayor of Dublin, Doughy. And then
he's the former mayor now.
Former mayor Doughy. Yeah, and then we went to Crow Park with it as well for NTutor's event.
People have seen it around the place.
It's
a great job. I mean, you must be delighted in one sense that you've got the message out there, and that it's obviously an achievement from an artistic point of view as well. It's a really lovely thing.
Yeah.
And 66 voices. Now that I understand it, I like the title even more. Listen, thank you both so much for coming in to us. Are you nearly graduated, or what's your own situation?
We have one more year left. But we just wanted
big final scary year.
We want to say thanks to the staff in IDT that helped us so much. Shirley, Kieran, Sinead, Louise, and then Ali in the workshop. They were a big help. We couldn't have done it without them. And a big thank you to NTutor for funding it as well.
Yeah.
And also you can follow it on Instagram. We're at 66 Voices if you want to follow. We're hoping to continue the Instagram, share some student stories, and potentially develop it into a VR kind of installation.
Virtual reality.
Yeah, with a headset and maybe. That'd be cool, because basically the frames are these massive three meter wide frames.
They were quite
difficult to travel when we did. So we're trying to make it a bit more compact. So us with a little headset are hoping to maybe showcase it a bit further.
Enjoy your final year.
Thank you.
And thanks so many for coming in to chat to us, Nicola Byrne and Tig Nolan. And thanks for everyone at IADT as well. Okay, good luck. We'll take a break.
Email oliver@rte.ie.